to infinity and beyond. I want you to take a minute, take a moment with me, and I want you to imagine a perfect day. Beautiful day out today, right? Just beautiful. Now imagine it's a 73 degree day, it's sunny, just a few clouds, just enough to set off the brilliant blue sky. The humidity is low. Periodically, a little breeze comes through, and it's so refreshing. Now, forget that this is Michigan, and it won't change during the day. You can count on that weather. And now picture yourself doing your favorite thing. Maybe it's a nature hike, or gardening, or fishing, or softball, or sailing on a beautiful lake, or a not frustrating round of golf, or a bicycle ride, or even better, a motorcycle ride. And now imagine doing these things in the company of people that you really enjoy, a best friend, or two or three, your family, and everybody's getting along. And imagine the joy and the laughter and the wonder of what would be a perfect day. Now, suppose I told you that however vivid your imagination, even that perfect day pales by comparison to the experiences that await us when we arrive in that far country we call heaven, or the world to come, or the kingdom of God. One of the aspects of the holiday of Sukkot Tabernacles that most intrigues me is the fact that it lasts 7 days, seven, as Rabbi Lauren said, being the number, biblical number that symbolizes perfection, fullness, completion, but that there is one more day. We're told in Leviticus 23 that there is, on the eighth day, we're to gather. It's to extend that joy a little bit more. We call it Shmini Atzeret, an eighth day of holding back. So we want that joy to last just a little longer. And you have heard us say it many times. If seven is the biblical number of fullness and completion, then the number eight represents a new beginning. You know, I love those old TV commercials. Remember those we used to see where toward the end of the commercial, the guy says, "But wait, there's more. If you act now, as an added bonus, we'll double your order. We'll throw in at no additional cost a second set of Jinsu knives." We like added bonuses, don't we? Sukkot has long been my favorite of the holidays for all its joy and festivity. And that's because it is a holiday that also looks ahead to the better things to come, the perfect things to come. That eighth day and the idea of a new beginning is just fantastic. So let's take a few minutes and contemplate what God has promised to those who love him and are loyal to his son, Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah. Revelation 21, 1 through 5, we'll read it as a whole and then again in sections. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." An eighth day, new things. So let's take a look at this a little at a time. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea." Creation as we know it will pass away. And we should not take the word heaven here to mean the third heaven, the eternal abode where God lives. That's for all eternity. But rather to mean that what is passing away is the earth, its oceans, the sky above us. And also, if you take other passages into consideration, Isaiah 34, Psalm 102, it is possible that even the second heaven, the stars and the galaxies, are going to pass away. Remember, even time and space were part of what God created. But let's not get distracted over, you know, by overanalyzing what's passing away. What matters is what's new. What will the new heaven and new earth be like? Well, the rest of chapter 21 and chapter 22 describe it in much more detail, but suffice to say, it will be all the best and most beautiful of what we experience on earth, but without the mosquitoes, fleas, and ticks, spiders, and centipedes, and cockroaches, and whatever else annoys. And if you're wondering whether your beloved Fluffy or Fido will be there to greet you, I have no idea. But this I know, we will not feel the lack of anything. Remember, we too will be changed. We will be new. Verse 2, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." There's nothing like a wedding. I will never forget how on the day of my daughter Anna's wedding, when she first emerged in her wedding dress, makeup and hair meticulously done, it actually took my breath away. My already beautiful daughter was dazzling in appearance. So will be the appearing of the new Jerusalem. It will take our collective breath away for its unimaginable beauty. And think about it. That's going to be our home. How wonderful is that? Notice that the holy city retains the name Jerusalem. Those who have any ambivalence about the Jewish roots of our faith better get that attitude adjustment handled on this side of eternity. But at last, Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, the city of peace, will finally, truly reflect the meaning of its name. We'll all be neighbors. Won't you be my neighbor? Verses 3 and 4. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. And he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them.'" Not just any voice, but a resounding voice coming from God's throne, declaring that God will build his sukkah in our midst, and dwell among us, and call us his own, and we will enjoy his presence forever. It's hard for us in this broken, fallen world to envision such a thing because there's nothing in our limited, brief, sometimes painful experience within these mortal bodies and this broken world to which we might compare it. But just because you can barely imagine it, don't for one minute doubt the authenticity of this promise. Remember, who's the one making it? And just because you aren't given all the details of what you will be doing in heaven, don't for one minute doubt that you and I will be occupied in joyous and meaningful activities. Eternal life in the presence of God will be anything but boring. It will be amazing. Some things will be surprising, and it will be fulfilling. In fact, any earthly analogy I might try to use is going to fall miserably short, which is why I'm reluctant to speculate very much on what those activities will entail. But I remember the words of Rabbi Paul, 1 Corinthians 2. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived of the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And it says, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Yeshua said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And he meant more than just the grieving the passing of a friend or loved one. It is the grief we experience when we consider the brokenness of this world, the violence, the hatred, and the dishonesty that fills it. Those of us who love the Lord and long to see goodness and righteousness and shalom prevail, we mourn the world such as it is today. But here is a promise that God will comfort us. And I have a little pet theory, and it's just a theory. This is not doctrine or theology. It's just Rabbi Glenn's pet theory. That when it says he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, that it isn't merely symbolic or a metaphor, but somehow that God might touch each person and truly wipe the tears from our eyes. And in that moment of his touching us, all the painful memories of our earthly experience will likewise pass away, because all things become new. And there will never again be any cause for grief. Let's continue. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Breaking news, death has passed away. I can't tell you how much I look forward, and I know Rabbi Lauren can say this too. I can't tell you how much I look forward to never again having to perform a funeral, never again having to visit a friend in the hospital, never again weeping in sadness. For that matter, I'll never again have to take a Motrin or visit the chiropractor. Think about it. There will never again be a need for doctors or hospitals, police officers or prisons, lawyers or courtrooms, and definitely no more need for morticians. This should make you excited. What is passing away is everything related to the fall, man's rebellion against God, and the generations of worldwide misery that it has caused. The first things, the broken and corrupted and disastrous things, have passed away, and good riddance. Amen? Something infinitely better is coming. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. John uses a reverential way to refer to God, not directly, but by writing, he who sits on the throne. God himself has uttered these words. The one who created simply by speaking a word, all things in the first place. Adonai reigns over the universe by fiat, by his word. Just that spoken word brings into existence what never before existed, that power. And the Holy One declares that he is making all things new. It is curious that he didn't say, I will make all things new. He is making all things new. From our temporal perspective, it hasn't happened yet. From God's eternal perspective, it's already happening and has happened. And the promise is as certain as the faithfulness of the one who made it. You don't have to hope for these things. They are a guarantee to those who are loyal to Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the Most High God. forecasting the future from the sukkah, I'd say we're in for joy and blessing, the likes of which we can barely imagine, and it will endure to all eternity and beyond. Adonai will build his sukkah, make his tabernacle among us, and he will make all things new, which is why I believe that eighth day of Sukkot is so special and meaningful. So make sure you spend some time in the sukkah this week. Remember God's faithfulness to 1,000 generations past. Reflect on what your priorities are now in light of the reality of his having saved you and redeemed you and wanting your priorities to line up with his. And rejoice if you have put your trust in Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God will make his everlasting sukkah in our midst. Amen.